Wednesday mornings means it's time for an American Catholic history lesson here on The Morning Blend. Our teachers, Tom and Noel Crow, have returned for this weekly segment that we've all grown to love as they continue to share these great stories of Catholic Americans who have contributed to our nation by virtue of their faith. And a big feast day coming up on the 14th, and that's who we're going to talk about today, Kateri Tekakwitha. Good morning and welcome back to The Morning Blend.
Good morning. Thanks for having us again.
Kateri Tekakwitha. Now, it's interesting, when I lived for a brief stint up in Rochester, they say Kateri, New York.
Kateri, yes, I've heard it pronounced that way too.
I had never heard it before. I've always heard it Kateri.
Same here. I had never heard Kateri until she told me they said it up that way from Rochester.
Up there, yeah.
I mean, I just think they're wrong.
They do live closer to where she was born, because she was born in 1656 in the village of Osernanon in New York, which is very close to Orrysville, which nowadays is the shrine of the North American martyrs.
Right.
So she was born right up there in that region.
And only a few, like 11, 12 years later.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Her father was a Mohawk chief. Her mother was a Catholic Algonquin woman who had been captured by the Mohawk and integrated into their tribe.
Basically became a Mohawk.
Yeah. Kateri had a younger brother as also, but when she was four, her mother, her father, and her younger brother all died in a smallpox epidemic. Kateri also had smallpox, but she did not die, but she was disfigured. Her face had many scars on it from that. And she also, her sight was affected.
Yes.
Which is what led to her name. Most people, we hear Kateri Tekakwitha, we think that's her first and her last name, right? That's what we're used to. In reality, those are both of her names, her Christian name and her Mohawk name, because Tekakwitha means she who bumps into things.
Really?
In the Mohawk language. And
wow.
So that's actually what her name was.
Yeah, because the Mohawks didn't give names to children until they manifested some behavior or tendency that the Mohawks would then name them according to. Mm-hmm. Well, she was apparently quite clumsy because her eyesight was dim. So they called her she who bumps into things. That's what Tekakwitha means.
Yes. And so Kateri is actually the Mohawk form of Catherine, because when she was baptized, when she was almost 20 years old, she took the name Catherine after Catherine of Siena. So Kateri Tekakwitha, her Christian name, Catherine, and her Mohawk name, she who bumps into things.
Wow. So yes. How did Catholicism reach that region during that time frame? How would her mother have even been Catholic?
Well, her mother was Catholic because the Algonquin tribes had been evangelized by the Jesuits.
Up in Canada.
Up in Canada. Mm-hmm. And so she would have brought that from them. The Mohawk hadn't been evangelized as much, but there was a French raiding party that raided the Mohawk village. So they left their village, kind of went to the other side of the river from there. And sort of the treaty that came out of this raid and conflict, part of that treaty was that the Mohawk agreed to allow Jesuit missionaries to set up a mission near their village. And so this is right around the time Kateri is 10, 11 years old. And this is where she first encounters the Jesuits. And she's very taken with them and their teaching. And she decides to basically emulate them.
Yep.
to live that kind of a life.
And she decided at a fairly early age to remain a virgin.
Mm-hmm.
So, which was a revolutionary thing, because in the Mohawk society, the female's job was to get married and have a lot of Mohawk babies.
Right.
So at the age of 13, they start encouraging her to think about this. And she says, my only spouse is Jesus. And she's not going
at 13.
At 13.
Wow.
Right? She's not going to get married. She eventually starts receiving catechism classes and is baptized. And in about a year later, in 1677, she moves to a place in Canada, in Saint-Louis, that is a village that was set up by the Jesuits for Catholic natives to come and to live.
Right, because so many of them had suffered abuse, they'd been ridiculed, whatnot within their tribes. Mm. So this village was set up so they had a place where they could live in community and live the Catholic life free of the persecution. She had a few other women, natives, who she lived with who they all had taken on this Catholic life, and they kind of lived as a religious community, and they had taken on such severe practices, penances, that at one point their spiritual director actually told them, you really need to relax some of these, because yes, it's great you want to do this, but this is too severe and you're going to harm your health, which, yeah, that's not good either.
They did things like putting thorns in their mattresses and other things. They did want to start actually an official religious community for Native women, but the priests discouraged them, right? Like, yeah, that's not going to work. So they didn't end up by doing that. But in 1679, Kateri did take a kind of formal vow of virginity. There was no bishop to receive it. So she wasn't actually a consecrated virgin, because there's a whole rite of consecrated virgins, but she's generally considered to be one even without that because of the way that she took this vow. Mm-hmm. Now, again, she was always very, very sickly. She was skilled in sort of needlework and the beading and the types of work that women do, but she didn't, sort of these gentle things were the things that she had always done because of her illness. And her ascetical practices exasperated all of that. Mm-hmm. So in 1680, at the age of 23 or 24, it became clear that her health was failing and she wasn't going to live much longer. Anyways, eventually, April 17th, 1680 is when she died. It was Holy Week that week. And they say that, or witnesses said that that 15 minutes or so after she died, her scars, all of her smallpox scars disappeared. Her face just had been kind of swarthy before because of that, but just became radiant. Mm-hmm. And actually there were claims from three people who were close to her there that she actually appeared to them after she died and kind of told them she was on her way to heaven. The last one was one of the priests who had care of them, one of their spiritual advisors there. He's one of the ones who wrote about her life. And so this is why we know so much about her. And he said that she appeared to him near her gravesite. And he saw her for about 2 hours there. And so shortly afterwards, he built a chapel there. And so within just a couple of years after she died, it became a pilgrimage site and a site of devotion, which obviously was maintained again, through the years. There are many accounts of miracles and things because her cause for canonization was opened in the 30s. In 1980, she was beatified by John Paul II and canonized by Benedict XVI in 2012. So all the way from the 1600s to canonization in the 2000s.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
But a persistent devotion to her.
Do we know what she's a patron saint of, or is she been assigned?
She's a patron saint of ecology. She's the patroness of Canada, I believe, and also the patroness of Native Americans.
Interestingly,
her feast day is, I was trying to figure this out and I could not find a good explanation. Her feast day is celebrated on April 17th in Canada. That's the day she died. But in the United States, for some reason, we celebrate her feast day on July 14th. And I'm not really sure why that is.
Yeah.
That we have a different date for it.
We crazy Americans.
Right. Usually the day that somebody dies is
right.
You know, their feast day. But I don't know what the connection is to July 14th, but that's the day we celebrate it in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Well, people want to learn more about Kateri or any of these other saints and these great stories that you have, where can they find you on the internet?
You can find us at AmericanCatholicHistory.org.
All right. Thanks, you two. We'll catch up with you next Wednesday.
Talk to you soon.